Hello and good evening, everyone. This is Matthew Fraley and Steve Nelson with BreakpointTrades.com. This is the weekend newsletter for March 15th. This weekend, we're doing it together. It's been a little while. And we wanted to get this newsletter out quite a bit earlier. Steve and I actually had our charts done really a couple hours ago. I've had a bunch of computer issues, so finally got it worked out. And just a little side note, folks, these updates and doing all these charts takes a long time. A lot of the intra-week updates take 3 to 5 hours to do. And, of course, that's on top of working all day with the market and on the blog and everything else. And the weekend newsletters take a whole day at least. And so these things take quite a bit of time. They're not just something we can whip up right away. And anyway, let me go ahead and get started here. I'm going to Steve's going to cover the general market, and I'm going to discuss a few indicators as well as the watch list and a couple commodities below. The market, as you know, had a great week last week. You can see the numbers in the table above. Tons of double-digit gains, 9 to 10% gains in the major indexes, and 10 to 20 and 30% gains in many of the individual sectors, especially the financials. So huge week there. Commodities were a little more muted, as you can tell. And so this week, there's lots of economic news, as you can see, just tons of it. And also there's an FOMC rate decision, but really it's their minutes. Everyone will be looking at it to see what they say. It's also options expiration week. And so the question is, do they let those calls go into money, or are they going to pull the market back? The market is very overbought in the short term. I mean, extremely overbought, and we're going to discuss that. And also, regarding the watch list, those of you who have been following it, it has had some very nice gains. We were lucky to put some long picks on there near the bottom. So, but one thing I want to note is that regarding long picks, you have to be very cautious with new long picks until we get some kind of pullback in this market. Okay. So I did throw some new longs on the watch list this weekend, but until the market pulls back, I would treat them as scalpers for now. And also, I'm looking to take off some of these long positions on Monday early morning. And so hopefully you've already locked in a half to a third or two-thirds of your gains already, or even all of your gains. Because you know what? You can always buy them lower. There's two potential counts in the market. There's one that says we've either made an intermediate bottom, or we still have one more decline to come. Even if the market did make an intermediate bottom with primary wave A in, there's still going to be pullback coming. So, and it could be a pretty good pullback. I'll let Steve take it over.
Thanks, Matt. And guys, just like Matt said, and I put this comment at the top of the blog, and that is that the market is extremely overbought under many of our oscillators, many of our readings. So while it can go up further here early next week, we don't advise chasing the market aggressively at this point. We'd much rather look to purchase a buyback or purchase a pullback that's orderly, and only if we see an orderly pullback into support would we look at getting positioned long on a more aggressive basis. We put out many picks on the watch list earlier, and those were good timing. As Matt alluded to, they've made great returns, and we want to make sure that you're aware that the market is overbought and it's susceptible to a pullback. So make sure that even if you're swing trading, you trail up a stop and not look to give back gains should we get a deeper pullback than you may expect. Now, let's move on with a couple of these counts. Just kind of and by the way, we're not trading off of these counts. We're trading off of divergences, price resistance, etc. These are for roadmaps as to what could unfold in the coming weeks. So please don't look at trading directly off of these. Stick to your patterns, your divergences, support and resistance, and I think you'll be much better off in the short term. These are more of a guide or roadmap. And I put these three counts out on the blog, I believe, on Friday morning, and nothing has changed there. So let's just start out with the bullish count. And if you remember, we had this low 666 on Friday, not last Friday, the previous Friday, March 6th. And out of that low, we rallied up, pulled back, and then we have since rallied quite sharply into Friday. And we can clearly count an impulsive wave structure up five waves. And this is one thing that gives the bullish count some credence in that we had a five-wave count up. You could count it alternatively as three waves, but clearly you could see five waves, impulse wave. That alone is not going to say unequivocally that we have the bullish count in place, but it gives credence to it. It will be the next pullback that really determines whether or not we have an intermediate low in place. Also, in terms of the wave count, we're nearing the point where wave four is getting close to an extreme level, especially on the NASDAQ, about overlapping. With the S&P, wave one of five is at 804. It's still quite a ways away. But on the NASDAQ, which I'll discuss in a while, we're with anywhere within 1 to 7 points of an overlap. And under Elliott Wave, that would negate the minor wave four potential. So I'll cover that in a minute. But what I want to get to here is if we're going to get into the bearish count, we need to start turning down early next week. No doubt about it. So here on the bullish count, let's get back to the bullish count. What we show is the completion of one wave up, and that's a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. The one bigger wave is highlighted in green. And under this scenario, we have had a little A pullback, a B up. B can exceed one, and then we could come down in C. Potentially a guideline would be a 38% retracement to a 61% retracement, and that is where we will be looking at, and I will show this on the 15-minute charts below, where those levels are, where we want to see how the market reacts, and if that support is bought up. But should this count play out on that pullback, that would complete wave two, and then we would move up in wave three. So the ideal level under the bullish count to be looking at adding to or initiating new long positions would be on a pullback at the completion of wave two. But as Matt alluded to, even under the bullish count, we could get a decent pullback. Okay? And I don't know how many of you want to ride through a 38%, let alone a 61% pullback on the type of gains you may have had. So keep that in mind. Now let's move on to the two bearish scenarios. The one bearish scenario here, and the bearish scenario says that this is still minor wave four up. It's unfolded as an ABC shown in green, and now we are at the point where we have completed an ABCDE of C, and thus we should be starting to turn down here and turn down fairly sharply, impulsively in minor wave five. If this count is correct, minor wave five will take us all the way back down to retest those lows and truthfully should undercut those lows. Now, the thing that also gives credence to at least a pullback occurring, as you can see here, is that the stochastics have been above the 80 level now for 1, 2, 3, 4 days. As Matt has alluded to many times, they don't usually stay above that level for 4 or 5 days at a time. So something to pay attention to. If we get a decisive turn down from above 80, that would be a warning sign that the pullback is starting or something deeper is starting. On top of that, we have negative divergence in place on this last push up. We've got rising wedge patterns, which I'll go over. So those are all arguments that the bearish case could, and I underline could, start to unfold next week. The second, and by the way, this bearish count suggests now that wave four is in or is very near to being in place. maybe we get a little further follow through early next week and then we would move down. Whereas the next bearish count says that the first leg of minor wave four is in place and now we are pulling back in a B of an ABC up in four. But again, the problem with this count is that if C gets up too high, it'll have to be almost a flat, not a zigzag, because otherwise we start getting into the danger of overlapping, and in particular on the NASDAQ. So again, which scenario will win out, only time will tell. But again, a lot is learned in a pullback off of an impulsive move up. So we will be monitoring that closely. The next chart is the 60-minute chart of the NASDAQ. And here you can see the labeling on the minor waves. And these are all part of major wave 5. So minor wave 1 either ended at 1440.8, which is just to the left of where I have the number 1, or 1434. And you can see we've got up to 1433.97. So we are very close to overlapping wave one, either at 1434 or 1440. Truthfully, a move of, say, 10 points higher would cause an overlap of wave one. And under Elliott wave four cannot overlap wave one. And this count would be not correct in terms of the NASDAQ. So the NASDAQ is the one index that really is close to negating the potential for a wave five down. We would need to go down almost immediately on Monday to keep this scenario alive. So that's something I wanted to point out. Now, let's get on to the charts themselves and get away from these wave counts. As we've said, we use those as roadmaps and not something to trade specifically on in terms of the short term. The first chart, and this is really applicable to new members, is the monthly chart of the S&P, which clearly shows the long-term bull or bear markets based upon the S&P being either above or below its 20-month moving average. Clearly, we're well below the 20-month moving average. And yes, we are deeply oversold on the monthly, weekly charts. And thus, maybe we have the potential of rallying back up and working off this oversold should primary wave A be in place. These longer-term charts support the ability to move up and work off those oversold levels. But again, this monthly chart is really applicable to the new members and how simple this chart is in keeping you in or out of the market in terms of your longer term money. Now let's move on and look at the weekly chart of the S&P. Here again, you can see that the weekly stochastics are oversold. And on this last push down, we do have some positive divergence in place. So this, too, gives some credence that we're getting close, if not already in place, to some type of intermediate bottom with which we can have a rally up. And, of course, we have labeled this low as primary wave A. Whether that came in place or is in place now or was in place previously is up for debate. But once primary wave A is in place, we should see a fairly substantial rally, anywhere from 20 to 50% up. A potential target, as Matt has alluded to here, is the 89-week moving average. Again, nothing is certain in this market, but we do expect, once primary wave A is in, a good rally to unfold. That may have already occurred, or we may need another leg down in minor wave 5. I think that answer or that question will be answered this week, finally. So again, the weekly and monthly charts support a rally in the not too distant future if one hasn't already begun. And I mean more than just 1 week. I'm talking about a multi-week or a multi-month rally that serves to unwind these oversold oscillators on the longer-term charts. The next chart is a different view of the weekly S&P. Here you can see the falling channel, which we bounced off of last week slightly, and then we had a huge bullish engulfing candle this week. Now, volume this week was actually slightly lower than last week. That's not ideal, but the candle itself was strong. And again, should we rally up? I guess the initial area we've always got to watch out for is this 13-week exponential moving average, which has stymied the rally attempt here at the January time frame. So, and that comes in around 8:15. You can see on the weekly time frame the 5-3 stochastics as well as the 14-3 stochastics are both oversold, but both are right now on slight buy signals. And we do have divergence in place on the RSI as well as the MACD histogram. We don't quite have it on the MACD because it's yet to turn up and give us a bullish cross, but it's close. So these are all longer-term factors that are supporting a rally is fairly imminent, but perhaps after one more decline, we shall see. Now let's move on and look at the daily chart. Here is the SPY daily chart. You can see the 5-3 stochastics, which has been a good guide for us, and I'll show that chart below. But here again, you can see it above. Gave us a buy signal. I believe that was on the 4th of March. We've rallied up nicely. We have almost got up to the 50% retracement off of that previous swing high here on the SPY. What's now in place is a doji as of Friday. That is a warning sign that possibly we could get a reversal. Now, we did have a doji on Wednesday as well that was negated, but a black candle doji is a warning sign that we could get a reversal. Now, that would need to be confirmed with a reversal candle. Another thing that gives me a little pause about this rally is the lack of increasing volume as this rally has extended. Volume's been okay, but certainly not near as strong as our previous rally back in November. So, again, these are some things to pay note of in terms of the very short term and how far we've come, how far we've come in just this short period of time. So something to watch out for. And again, should we rally up, I've got the Fib resistance levels as well as the downtrend line overhead. The downtrend line, as you can see, corresponds very nicely with the 50-day moving average. So even if we get a pullback here and then we rally back up, that's an area to take note of should we rally up higher as a strong resistance area. Now let's move on and look at the 60-minute charts. Here again, I've kept the labeling in place in terms of our minor waves because they've yet to be officially negated. And again, we're talking about this potentially as minor wave 4 and another pullback in minor wave 5. We do have some negative divergence in place on the histogram on the 60-minute charts. Our MACD is quite extended. It's not showing negative divergence, but it's quite extended. And our stochastics, while on a buy signal, are also quite extended in overbought territory. Here's what I'm going to be watching for on the 60-minute chart. Should we start to pull back this week, I will watch and see if the pullback on the RSI finds support on that rising trend line. As you can see, the RSI is above the price chart. I've got a trend line there with a pink circle as a potential target area on the next reaction move. So if we come down to this rising trend line and hold and bounce off of it, that would be supportive that the bullish count is unfolding. Whereas if we slice through that rising trend line, that would certainly raise question about the bullish count and put the bearish count back into vogue. That's for sure. So that's something to make note of is the RSI trend line overhead. Now let's move on and look at the 30-minute chart of the SPY. This chart I showed as a potential inverse head and shoulders pattern. Now, we've certainly breached the slanted neckline. Now, the question is, are we going to pull back and find support at or near this neckline, or are we going to roll over on the next leg down? That's going to be the question that will be determined by the nature and extent of the pullback. Here on the 30-minute SPY, you can see that we do have some slight negative divergence in place on the RSI and MACD. And again, here on the 30-minute charts, we're up into the overbought area. They have room to move up a little bit, but then they'd likely turn down. I would be cautious about chasing this market on the long side up here. And then should we get a pullback and rally back up, I've noted some strong resistance areas just above. So something to pay attention to. Now, let's move on to the 15-minute charts, which to me are very telling for the next week, the early portion of next week. Here on the SPY, you can clearly see a bearish rising wedge in place, and that is also accompanied by a declining volume. Volume is declining on the advance, supporting this bullish bearish wedge pattern, and a decisive break of that rising trend line should usher in a pullback. And of course, an initial area of support is where we stopped initially, right there around the 73.80 area, 73.70 area. I don't have the exact price, but that horizontal line in blue would be an initial support area. You can see that clearly on the 15-minute time frame, we have negative RSI divergence, we have negative MACD divergence, and once again, we show and highlight the fact that the stochastic 60 has been above the 80 area for 4 days now. So we're pressing our luck on the long side here, trying to squeeze it up just a little bit here as we approach early this week. The next major resistance areas on the S&P come into place around the 760 area, followed by 765, 770. So if we should get up a little higher early next week, Monday, those are the next resistance areas. Now, here's the next 15-minute chart, and this is of the S&P 500 versus the SPY. Again, same pattern, bearish rising wedge. What I have on this chart is the Fibonacci levels, assuming the 758 area was our high in place. You can see that the 38% retracement would be at 723 and the 61.8% right around 701, 702. Again, if you're a swing trader, these are potential levels that you need to be aware of on a pullback. And do you want to ride through a 38 or 61% pullback? Or are you looking to take profits and potentially re-enter at those areas? That's something you'll have to determine. What I find intriguing here is I have drawn in a dashed black trend line off of the two minor lows, and that trend line intersects nicely with the 61% retracement. So that is a potential target area on a pullback. And should we get down to those areas in the coming days, I would really want to see how the market reacts there. If the market bounces substantially off of there, that would be encouraging. Whereas if it sliced through that, I would say the odds greatly increase that we are going down in minor wave 5. So those are a couple things to watch for. I've given you the RSI trend line above. And on this 15-minute chart, I've given you the Fibonacci levels to pay attention to, as well as the rising trend line underneath. Now, the next chart are both the weekly and daily 5-3 stochastics. Now, the weekly, as you can see, is down at oversold areas and is beginning to turn up. It got a bullish cross last week. Now, that alone doesn't mean it has to keep going up. We got a bullish cross here back in January, and it rolled back over. But what you can see is it's trying to carve out some type of bottom here, and it's encouraging in the fact that it's at oversold levels, and it is giving us a bullish cross. Now we need to see follow-through. But if you go down and look at the daily chart, we've already made a big move to be expected after last week's advance, and now we're up into overbought territory on the RSI 2, and we're way up here and looking at the potential of a negative cross down on the daily time frame. We certainly haven't had that yet. We can go higher, but it's something to pay attention to should we get our fast line crossing over our signal line. The bullish cross, as I highlighted, occurred on the 4th, and we have moved up into Friday. Now let's move on and look at the Qs. Here again, we had a nice rally breaking our downtrend line on the daily. But once again, we moved up on not the greatest of volume, as you can see. Volume was decent, moderate, but not outstanding, and it declined somewhat here again on Friday. Pardon me. And we did end the day with a doji. So if we get a reversal back down here, then the odds of at least a pullback unfolding are great. And I would say the initial area to look at for support on the Qs is down around this 28 area, 2794 to 2810, which is a Fibonacci level, as well as the 20-day moving average. So I would like to see the Qs hold above this area on a pullback. You can see that our 5-3 stochastics here are up at the overbought areas. They still haven't given a sell signal, but they are extended. So again, wouldn't be surprised to see a pullback this coming week. And whether that pullback is just a pullback or the start of a next down leg is the $64,000 question, and we'll let the market determine that. The 60-minute chart of the Qs, you can see us clearly breaking out of the channel. Here again, what I want to highlight is the rising RSI trend line as a potential target on the next reaction move down. So not only did I show it on the S&P above, here it is on the Qs for those of you trading the Qs, something to watch for. We do have negative divergence on the MACD histogram, but nothing here prominent yet on the MACD or the stochastics, except that they are extended, overbought. The 30-minute chart, very similar to the SPY above on the Qs, shows this slanted neckline on a potential inverse head and shoulders pattern. Now you can see, though, that we do have negative divergence in place, clearly on the 30-minute time frame on the MACD and RSI. They could recycle back up, but as of now, we have a divergent high in place, potential double top in order, and this may lead to a pullback. And again, that 28 area is the initial support area that I would focus in on the Qs. Now let's move on to the 15-minute chart. Here again, you can see the rising wedge. And we did break down out of the rising wedge on the Qs. We've moved back up. And now, as I talked about, we have the potential of a double top in place here. We do have clear negative divergence in place on the RSI and MACD, and the full stochastics are overbought. So, again, I would be cautious here about chasing this particular index up as well. You could label this as a five-wave move up where the first red arrow is, the first pullback A, and this move up B, and then another move down in C if that is the bullish count. Now, let's move on to the Russell, because the Russell, out of all the indexes, has the cleanest look to their intraday charts. The first thing I'll show here is the 30-minute chart, which showed a beautiful little inverse head and shoulders pattern, extremely symmetrical with a nice horizontal trend line right around the 376 area. We had our right shoulder slightly higher than our left shoulder, which is bullish. We had positive crossover of the 10, 20, and 50-day moving averages on this time frame, and it's played out and broke above the neckline. Now, though, in the 30-minute time frame, we are seeing some signs of the market tiring. We've got slight negative divergence on the RSI and MACD histogram as well, so we may get a pullback here to retest the broken neckline. And if you make note of this 376 area, let's call 375 to 380 area, you will see on the next chart below, on the 15-minute chart of the Russell, we have a rising channel in place on the 15-minute time frame that, because of the negative divergence in place, could take us back on a reaction low to retest this lower boundary of this rising channel. And that lower boundary comes into place right around the 38% retracement. So if this index were to continue to go up I would like to see it hold above this rising channel, the lower boundary, or the 38% retracement, or we're likely to get, at a minimum, a deeper retracement. So in order for us to keep moving up in the shorter term, we want to see the 375-380 area hold on the Russell. Again, you can see below that we have been on this index above the 80 level on the 60-period stochastics for four consecutive days as well. So I think these charts are all arguing for some type of pullback at a minimum, if not the beginning of the next down leg. Now let's move on to the sectors and get through these quick. The XLF, which has had a terrific week, moved up substantially, is now up or near multiple points of resistance. We have horizontal resistance intersecting with our downtrend line and a logical area for the index to pause at. We are also overbought on the 5-3 stochastics. Volume has been decelerating. And yes, we are above the 20 and 50-day exponential moving average, but we printed a black candle, and that has to be watched for a potential reversal. So let's see if this index will once again lead, and in this case, lead in terms of a pullback or the next down leg. The 30-minute chart of the BKX is next. Here again, you can see a nice rising trend line. Matt mentioned this as a potential long, I believe, last week, he told me, and it's played out very nicely. The banks led the charge this week, moved up very impulsively, but now once again here on this 30-minute time frame, you can see momentum is beginning to wane, and we do have a negative divergent high in place. Whether or not this will create a pullback or a deeper down leg will be determined early next week. And what we need to watch initially is the rising trend line. And it's a pretty steep rising trend line. It's not sustainable. I expect it to be broken. The question is how deep of a pullback we will get once it's breached. Again, here, the stochastics on the 55 or 60 period have been at extended levels now for 4 days. So not the time to be chasing the financials up. The transports also had a terrific week. They rallied sharply along with the financials. Here again, though, they are nearing some resistance in the 20-day moving average, and they ended with a doji candlestick on Friday. A doji is simply a candlestick that marks indecision, and it typically comes at or near resistance, and it's coming right below the 20-day moving average. Another reason for being cautious on the market with respect to the transports are we had declining volume on each day. So Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, while they all made higher highs, we had declining volume on each one of those sessions. So again, I wouldn't be surprised to see some type of pullback here on the transports. The 30-minute chart of the transports is next, and this clearly shows a divergent high in place here at the most recent high here, 2458. You can see the negative divergence in place on the RSI, the histogram, as well as the MACD. And again, this looks like it needs a reprieve, a pullback at a minimum, or the potential of the next down leg to unfold. So if you're in the transports, you want to take note of this and set your stops accordingly. Again, on all of these indexes or sectors, if you are an aggressive trader, even though we still have bullish symmetry in place, you may want to initiate stops with shorts with a stop in place. Okay, and I'd give it a little bit of room, maybe start scaling in. But these indexes, to me, as well as many of the sectors, are all extremely overbought and look like they need some type of reprieve at a minimum. The next chart is a SOX chart. Here again, another index or a sector that had a good week, but it's now rallied up to its downtrend line. And here we see an overbought reading materializing on the daily and in the daily stochastics and the daily RSI. So again, not the time to be chasing these up. I would prefer to buy them on a pullback, and they're at or near resistance here. The MACD as well, even though it's pointing up, is lagging a little bit. So we'll see if we get some follow-through. There is always the potential that it breaks out of this pattern, but I'd prefer to buy it breaking out and back-testing that broken trend line than chasing it up with the oscillators at extreme levels. So again, to summarize, right now the daily charts continue to point higher, but our intraday charts are showing extreme overbought conditions and some negative divergence in place, so I wouldn't be surprised to see a pullback. I have one other thing that I want to make note of, and that is out of the S&P, we have 467 stocks now that are above their 10-day moving average. This is an extreme reading. The last time we had readings this high, we have had a pullback no longer than within 3 days. So pay attention to these extreme readings of overbought and be cautious. If you're long, raise your stops. Or if you're looking to position short, do so with a stop in place above. Again, this is only for aggressive traders since we are trending up. That's all I have to say. I'm going to turn it over to Matt.
Okay, thanks, Steve. My next set of charts I'm going to try to knock out pretty quick. The first series here is just a quick set of indicators. The first chart actually is an overlay of the U.S. dollar and the S&P 500. The U.S. dollar has the black candles and the S&P has the red candles. I mentioned this chart last week, but basically the U.S. dollar and the S&P 500 have been trading inverse to one another, and you can see that clearly on this chart. And you can see when the U.S. dollar topped back in November, the S&P at the same time bottomed, and you can see the divergence here that's been occurring. The U.S. dollar looks like it put in some kind of top here, and you can see the two are now pinching together. So this basically is one. This chart is one for the bulls, basically. If this continues to pinch in like this and the U.S. dollar is forming a top here, then this would give some credence to the side that the market's put in the primary wave A. Again, we'll just have to see, but just thought I would throw it in here as an indicator. The VIX, mentioned this last week, it had a triangle pattern. It broke the triangle pattern to the downside. I mean, it's now below resistance, which is the broken up trend line of the triangle, and supports down there around the blue area. So the bullish percent indexes are now moving up, which is one positive sign. And you can see that on the BPNYA. The NASI, this is a weekly chart of the NASI. And we have another chart of the NASI, which uses a PSAR, and it has not yet given a buy signal. But this is a weekly chart. It really doesn't tell you much. It's getting a little oversold, but one thing I do note on this weekly chart of the NASI, if you take a look at the candlesticks, they tend to trend. Usually when you get one open candle, you get a bunch of open candles in a row. And when you get one red candle, you tend to get a bunch of them in a row. You tend not to oscillate between red and, you know, up and down, up and down, up and down. And so we have one up candle from last week. So we'll see if it starts to trend to move up or not. Again, nothing to trade off of, just pointing it out. Then another chart, someone asked me to put this in the newsletter, so here it is. It's a monthly chart of the Nikkei, which is basically back to the early 1980 lows. So pretty amazing that it's down this far. Looks like it has about the same wave structure, though, in the short term as the market. You can count five waves here, and it's either five waves have either been put in or they haven't. One little trick I like to look at is the stochastics. You can see my stochastics at the bottom, I have them labeled with 5. Sometimes you can count waves in stochastics, and whenever you can count 5 waves in a stochastics, many times that'll point to either a bottom or a top, depending on what direction it's moving. I did note that the daily Nikkei, and I don't have it on here, looks like it's trying to put in some kind of bottom. And EWJ is an ETF for that exchange, by the way. There is not an ultra ETF that I know of. There's an ultra mutual fund, but you know, no one really trades those anymore with all the ultra ETFs out. Next is a snapshot from the watch list. And the watch list has done very well. We got lucky enough to put some nice long picks over the last week or so, and we took our shorts off early last week, and so we were able to lock in very nice gains there. But the point I want to make is, with the market looking like it's going to pull back, and with knowing for certain if primary wave A is in or not, we're going to look to lock in some of these gains on the long side. We have 40%, 43% in UIG, and 34%, 33% in GE. Very good gains here. And even if the market's going to pull back 38 or 50%, why sit in these? We can always just buy them back, even if the bullish case plays out. Okay, but honestly, most of you, if you were in these, you should have already taken off half or a third or two-thirds or whatever. That's our policy here at Breakpoint Trades. Whenever we have a good move in a stock, we take half off and then readjust our stop back to our entry price. That way, we are insured a profit, even if we are stopped out. So that's how we do things here. Anyway, the weekend, I added quite a few new picks to the watch list. I added a plethora of shorts and longs. I have some nice shorts here, and there's also a few nice long picks here. But I do want to mention that with the market looking like it wants to pull back here, use some caution with the longs. If they trigger before the market has a decent pullback, I would treat them more of as a scalp play, and make sure they have good volume in it. Volume such as over the 60-day average volume. Okay. But anyway, you have a nice list to pick from, and don't try to play them all. We don't do that ourselves. I find that I can't play more than, maybe 5 to 7 stocks at a time, effectively. And so, anyway, that's the comments in the watch list, and we're looking for a pullback this week. So probably on Monday I'll start removing some of these longs in the triggered list, because we can always add them back.
Hey, Matt, can I interject one thing?
No problem.
Japanese market, it brings up a point. Out of all the world markets, the only market that's in a confirmed uptrend is China, SSEC. So even though all the world markets had substantial rallies last week, including the European markets, none of the U.S. markets or the European markets and most of the Asian markets are yet in confirmed uptrends. So at this stage, the only market that's in a confirmed uptrend is the SSEC in China. And the question is that going to pull up the other markets, or are the other markets potentially going to pull them down? So we're not a believer in picking bottoms. We'll play some trades, as you see, but we need to see clear evidence that primary wave A is in place before we get overly aggressive on the long side. That's all I have to say.
Thanks, Steve. And next, we'll look at a few commodities here. Here's a table of what the various commodities did last week, and I already discussed that above. So I'm going to quickly fly through these. I don't have too many charts here. The first is a daily chart of crude oil. As you know, we are also long crude oil on the watch list, and that is one I'm going to keep on the watch list. It's the ETF OIL, similar to USO, except OIL is a little pure play. It's pure crude oil. And crude oil here broke out of this triangle that I had a couple weeks ago, and it's basically riding its broken trend line. It has some resistance around the 50 area. It looks like it really needs to consolidate and base out here potentially before it has a move up to the upside. So we'll just have to see. Really not a lot to say about this pattern. The chart I had in the newsletter last week, which is the weekly chart of crude oil, I mentioned that the 11-week moving at exponential moving average was resistance, and that was clearly broken last week, so that's a positive. Next resistance is that thin trend line, horizontal line above, which is the January 2007 lows. UNG, which is the natural gas ETF, is in a falling wedge pattern, and with support and resistance defined by the converging trend lines here. So if you Those of you who follow this, you could watch for a break above that downtrend line and the 20-day moving average. And just a word of warning, UNG does not trade that well. Steve and I don't like to trade it ourselves, but I'm just pointing it out here in case you're interested. Here's the chart. Next, let's move on to the U.S. dollar. This is Steve's chart. and it appears to be playing out, at least for now. The U.S. dollar had rallied up strongly from its mid-December lows, and it appears it formed a rising wedge and a fifth wave top, and it broke the rising wedge to the downside. I mentioned this in last Thursday's update. So it's now starting to move to the downside. The next chart's a weekly chart of the U.S. dollar. And actually, the U.S. dollar on that high hit almost exactly just a few cents off of the 38% retracement from the 2002 highs. And there was clear negative divergence in the MACD and the histogram. Longer term, it's hard to say what the wave count on the dollar is. The Elliott wave experts out there say that this is some kind of ABC up, with this whole move up being a wave A. We're going to have some kind of wave B pullback, and then one more rally in a wave C to new highs before the dollar would ultimately top. Well, we'll just have to see. And honestly, a lot of this depends on what happens with this economic situation we have. You know, do we stay in a deflationary environment for a while, or do we move into a hyperinflationary? If we stay in a deflationary environment for a while, well, then the dollar will probably play out in this fashion. But if hyperinflation starts to come sooner, then maybe this won't play out. So we'll just have to see. Next, moving on to gold and metal. Here's a daily chart of gold. And I have it labeled as a hypothetical head and shoulder topping pattern here. It definitely has the look to it. And however, in order for this to play out, the gold has to start pulling back here fairly soon, and it has to lose the uptrend line in blue and the neckline in red at about 900. If that is lost, then this pattern will be confirmed. This pattern is about 100 points in height. You subtract that from 900, and it measures down to 800, which is conveniently the 61.8% retracement. So again, we'll have to see if this plays out. If gold just rallies up from here, and let's say it goes up to 970 or so, then this pattern will be negated. And by the way, I do have this on the watch list. I have DZZ, which is the Ultra Gold Short ETF, and it's in the same pattern, but it's in an inverse head and shoulder pattern. So it either plays out or it doesn't, no harm, but it is on the watch list as a potential play. The next two weekly charts are potential long-term wave count scenarios on gold. They are both very long-term bullish, of course, but one is, the first chart here is basically a little more bullish. It has us being in a wave two pullback that's going to form a higher low, and then we're going to rally up into a wave three, which would go way over $1,000, maybe even $2,000 eventually. The next chart's just it's long-term bullish, but it would still have wave two not being put in, with the recent high only being a wave B, and we're in a wave C decline, which would probably come back to that long-term uptrend line from 2001. Which one plays out, we don't know. But, you know, the coming days or a week or two will probably tell us quite a bit. Here's a daily chart of silver. It found support at the 38%. So let's see where it goes from here. And the monthly chart of silver, as I've been stating for quite a while, when you really look at the monthly chart, it has just been too vertical. And so definitely needs a pullback here. To me, it looks like a bear flag pattern. And the RSI stopped at 50%. Moving on to gold stocks, as you know, we've had GDX as a short on the watch list. We put it on at a perfect time. It was in a rising wedge. It broke down and it hit our first price target at the 38% retracement. The Fibonacci numbers there are backwards. That's actually the 38% retracement. Anyway, so that was an area to take at least half off of your short. GDX has since bounced, and it's now going to see what it's going to do from here. Is it going to make a lower high and then start another decline, or has it put in a bottom? The volume patterns tell me that this is probably a reflexive bounce, and so it's probably going to form a lower high here and then turn back down. Resistance is the 200-day moving average, and there's also a 61.8% Fibonacci retracement right at about 34.80. Regardless, any of you short GDX, you should have taken half off on that first target. The next charts are just the 60-minute chart of GDX. And the one thing I want to note on this chart is the trend line under the GDX-GLD ratio at the top. If that's broken, then that should start another pullback. But for now, it's in a little uptrend. And the same with a 15-minute chart to GDX. You can draw an uptrend line on the GDX-GLD ratio. And as long as that's maintained, then it will probably go higher. In the short term here, GDX looks like it does want to move a little higher. It looks kind of like a little bull flaggish there. Next is the GDX-GLD ratio mechanical system that uses the 721 exponential moving average crossovers. The system has been excellent. It's only produced, well, four trades since July. And the first trade was a whipsaw, but the short there back in July was awesome. Gave you a short in GDX in July. Didn't have you cover until November. Then it had you go long on November 25th and had you exited and short the long, short on February 24th. It still has you short. So if you just follow this mechanical system, you stay short until the 7 crosses back above the 21 EMA. Very simple. I don't know of anyone else, even the big gold bugs out there, who have a mechanical system this simple. So appears to work pretty well. And in last week's newsletter, I mentioned that if gold stocks did have some more upside or held up, that the gold stocks that were holding up better were the South African gold stocks, such as AU and GFI. And as I took a look at them this weekend, clearly they did. You can see AU and GFI made new weekly highs. GG is in a triangle pattern here. And really, that's it, folks. So let's see what happens this week. And really, I guess there's nothing else to say. We will see you on the blog this week, and have a great evening. Talk to you later. Thank you.